Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to another Tadpog podcast. I realize I've said another for every single episode, but probably the first one.
I hope you didn't on the first one. That would have been embarrassing.
No one really knows what our first episode was.
Well, we do have that unpublished first episode, so behind the paywall.
It's behind the paywall. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tyler and Dave play old games, a show that happens twice a week, where one to two, just after three and four. It's four this week.
You knew that because you pulled this up in your media device and was like, oh, a 3-hour podcast. They must have two guests with them.
Talk about old games. Today is Original Flavor Wednesday, so that means we're playing down through IGN's top 100 Super Nintendo list.
Mm-hmm. We should have played up, I think.
Yeah, probably. And today we are at number 19, ActRaiser.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we did a lot of research into this game. I heard a lot of different rumors, and like everything that's brought into Pawn Stars is like, okay, I got a buddy who's an expert on ActRaiser.
I'm gonna bring him in.
I'm gonna bring him in and see what they have to say. Yeah. So our resident experts at ActRaiser, starting at the far end of the table, John Turley.
It's
Wednesday, so you know John Turley's right here on the show.
He's the platforming half of the game. That's his expertise, is the platforming part.
And then the God simulation we have of wolf fighting fang Jacob York.
Hey, you guys.
Hey, Jacob. It's been a while.
Yeah, I know. It's been a minute. I think it's so interesting, especially when new guest hosts come on and immediately talk about how John Turley is catching up to them. John Turley is definitely like the noob Cybot of this podcast.
It's like, explain. I like that.
But a new challenger enters and he's like destroying everyone. It's like, oh shit, John Turley's here and he needs a place to hang out on Tuesday nights. We're fucked.
I don't have any other friends.
Oh, John.
Asshole.
Well, you're the most popular guest host by a country mile now. So,
you need more ice in that glass so you can hear the clink every time you take a drink.
Tyler and Dave and John play old games.
Tyler and Dave play old games while John drinks.
That's pretty much what it's devolving into.
I like that you're like a permanent fixture now. I like that.
This is the
Tom Green show. The guy that always stood in the window drinking and just would just laugh and comment every now and then.
Yeah, I never got into that.
I really watched the Tom Green
show. I was going with like you guys are Carolla and Kimmel on the Man Show, and he's like the Ziggy Zoggy.
The Fox?
Yeah, the Fox.
I'm your bearded host, Tyler.
What's up, man?
And so I've got a story and a question to lead into a story. Of all your significant others, mm-hmm. what do they refer to
all
their
of mine.
All of your multiple going, significant others? Like what do they refer to their breasts as? Like boobs, tits, titties? Like what do they say?
Oh gosh, I don't know.
I
think it depends on
breasts.
The situation.
Are they 50? Breasts.
I think about them more than she does.
Yeah.
So I probably say I say boobs, but I guess it depends on my mood, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, if I'm feeling a little dirty, I'm like, give me them titties. if it's a desperation, I really need it, give me them titties. But if it's just kind of playful, it's like, hey, look at your boobs. Look at those.
That's never, give me them boobies.
No.
Yeah. You don't blend the two.
Sometimes I do. But I've been watching a lot of Space Dandy recently, and they do the whole, like, I've been watching the Japanese audio. Mm-hmm. I haven't been watching the Japanese audio. I've been watching the anime with the Japanese audio. It's very difficult to do, but I'm a master.
Just waveform.
They don't know you can see kanji. That's Dave's mutant ability.
So they Romanize the name of this restaurant in the galaxy. It's called Boobies. So I like looking at Nikki sometime and go, Boobies. That's how they pronounce it.
So I don't know. I don't know. I think that it's the same as Dave insofar as I think that she probably refers to them different ways depending on the time. You know, it's, I think casually she probably refers to them as her boobs.
Yeah, it's boobs.
Yeah, so that's what Meg usually says.
Unless it's a romantic situation.
And then it's definitely titties.
Yeah. Or tits.
Tits. Meg will say, if it's a different situation, you'll say tits.
Yeah.
She never says titties. Mm. She thinks titties is awful.
Really?
Yeah, she does not like that at all.
What about tat-tats?
Also fine.
Okay.
If she's at church and talking about them, she'll say tat-tats. Mm,
dirty pillows?
Mm-mm.
No.
Only when Austin Powers was popular, and then that faded away.
Honkers.
Wow.
I thought that was a Carrie reference, the dirty pillows.
The first time Carrie? I'd ever heard it was.
See, I thought it was. I thought it was. That's in Carrie.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure her mom calls them her dirty pillows.
What's that, Steve? What's that?
Her mom is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
You'll know this. Steve Martin was in an adaptation of the dude with the long nose.
Cyrano.
Roxanne.
That's what I thought. Okay. Dirty, because he says something like, "Let me lay my head upon your dirty pillows," or something like that.
Isn't that a play on Cyrano?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
That's why I knew Jacob would know.
I knew them both.
So that, but Meg, she doesn't like titties at all. So she was kind of creeped out a little bit when a bunch of my family came over to see the baby.
Okay.
One day, and they're all over, and they're whole passing Kenna around, and you know, oohing, aahing, all that kind of stuff. And she starts getting kind of fussy and hungry. And one of my aunts, who is 60 something, has a southern accent. She's kind of a small, frail lady.
I can't believe she has a southern accent.
I know, right? And she's just like, she's holding Kenna, and she's like, oh. Oh, well, she just wants those titties. And Meg was on the couch just like...
horrified.
And like, because Meg was telling me about this, she was like, and she kept saying it. She was like, oh, yeah, she needs those titties. Who's going to give her titties? Whose titties? You want mommy's titties? Here, Meg, give her your titties.
And I guarantee that Meg was like, it's time to breastfeed. I guarantee she was very pointed in saying something
and
besides
flew
titties.
Over everyone's head in the room.
It would have been great if she'd have been like, all right, pass it over. Let me squirt some titty juice in there.
She just wrangled one in her mouth. Yeah, titties.
Open your fucking mouth, asshole. You want these titties? Do you want these fucking titties? Okay. Here come my titties.
I think that's a southern thing, though, because I have aunts that refer to them as tits. You know, there's
a little bit of tits. Tits.
Tits. That's like a really heavy boob, right?
Eat your ass. Eat your ass. Give me your tits.
I was waiting for it. Hoping there'd be an eating her ass.
Ass and titties. Big booty bitches.
That's the weirdest adaptation of that song.
Give me that eating her ass.
That's my story.
All right. What's up, Internet? I'm Dave. I'm really tired. I had a story, but I took a nap and I forgot what it was. So I don't know. I just told you what I call my wife's breasts. Depends on my mood. It's also, I guess, like how I refer to my genitals also depends on my mood. Like if I'm ready to get down, it is definitely a cock. Mm-hmm. But if it's lacerated, I need to go to the doctor. It is most definitely a penis.
A cooter. Yeah.
Excuse me, sir.
911. My gooter's cut up.
Could you please take a moment and look inside my gooter? It's got the tinglins.
Gooter sandwich. Mine. I have three insofar as when I'm getting down.
Three gooters?
when I want to get down.
That guy on Reddit.
Three gooters.
When I want to get down, it's cock. When I'm sort of casually referring to it, it's dick.
Yeah.
all other situations, it's wiener. Wiener. Because I think that that is the funniest way so that you can refer to genitalia.
I'm so glad that you said that, because there are times where I've just been like, I've been at home and I've been, I'll just look over at Nick and be like, my wiener moved. She'll laugh.
Wiener is the funniest way to refer to any genitalia.
Besides
especially
Gooter.
A vagina. My slit open wiener.
Grody.
Yeah, that's pretty gross.
But and there's a weird caveat with saying wiener insofar as you can say it in mixed company.
Yeah.
And like get away with like people thinking that you're like just sort of puckish and charming as opposed to but like I'm talking about my dick.
Right.
If I came in the room it was like, you guys, my cock, it would be weird. But you can say something about your wiener and everyone's like, oh, wiener.
Yeah.
I don't
You ever sleep funny and your wiener hair gets all matted? That goes over really well at cocktail parties. Look at that. Look at that roguish scamp.
He's charming.
you ever guys get this like weird cheese come out of your wiener?
So anyway, you guys, about
John is done. For the record, I've never had weird cheese coming my way.
But
so imagine somebody has. Let us know.
I know somebody has. I've seen those videos in high school they show you where they're like, hey, guess what? You never want to have sex. Mm-hmm. They call all the kids into the auditorium and they're like, let's look at pictures of messed up genitals.
See, that,
it's like that scene from Red Dragon. Do you see? Do you see?
That's what when Meg wanted to have a baby, then it was just like, no, you never have a baby ever. That's the worst thing in the world. That's what I've been told since like I was in the fifth grade. Nope. If you do that, you'll get a girl pregnant. That's the worst thing ever.
Did you feel great shame?
Yeah.
When you found out?
I still do.
Yeah.
I'm still just like, oh.
What's up, John?
Oh, not much.
Welcome back. No, Noob Saibot. I like it. I like the new title. The current reigning champion.
Oh. He's laid waste to everyone. He comes in. There's no one else who...
Well, you know, and I was thinking about that the other day. It's not... You guys did sort of change the day. Like, I usually come to your house on Tuesdays and then hang out.
Oh, yeah.
But you guys started recording on Tuesdays. So it's not all me. You guys changed...
Oh, we want you here.
I mean, that's why they changed it. Because they wanted a third guest host. They want a third regular host.
Oh, well, I appreciate.
Well, it would be
that.
Yelrot Naj is your is your Noob Saibot name.
Yeah, Yelrot Naj.
Yelrot Naj.
That's not bad.
No, not bad at all. Works. You sound like a genie. Yeah. You sound like an evil genie.
Yelrot, you have been summoned.
That's
what happens when he's summoned.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't say that name, please. I lose intelligence points when you say that name.
Are you drinking tonight, John?
A little bit.
All right.
Evil John is going to show up, and he's going to be exactly like John, and we're just going to find out that there's just two neutral Johns.
See, that's how I feel like Josh Nance would be.
I don't know. I kind of think that evil Josh Nance is like Bradley Cooper or something like that.
Josh's opposite is Bradley Cooper.
Evil Josh Nance is just Josh Nance with a goatee. Everybody knows.
Yeah, that's pretty much how that
but
shit
But since
works.
He has a beard, it's just like a fake goatee over the top of his beard. It's like a paper mache goatee.
But he's got flesh over the beard and then a goatee.
Yeah, exactly.
No. He's got the beard. He just shaved out where the goatee would be. So there's just this goatee of skin.
Well, there is the quarter inch rule where you have to shave around your lips when you go to the glory hole. We're talking about that.
You gotta trick them by just shaving just a little bit around.
Welcome to the show, Jacob.
See, I look at Jacob's eye. Jacob was confused
just took a
until
turn,
I explained
man.
It to him.
What happened?
There was something that happened, you know, because I caught up on a lot of shows within the last week.
Yeah.
Because I knew I was going to be coming home, and I had some time now. And I will say that something When I was driving here, something was said, and I can't even remember what it was, and if I could remember what it was, I wouldn't say it, that made me actively go, Jesus, guys.
Man, I wish you could remember. I really want to know.
So, like, beyond the pale to me that nice. I was like, oh, my God, that hurts. Literally.
After we said it, do we say something like, oh, I bet Jacob really liked that?
No.
Oh.
I was not mentioned. I was not mentioned.
Then we didn't think it was too bad.
Yeah, you guys did. That's the thing about it. That's why I was so agog. I was like, there's not even like a... Like a
an acknowledgement like
cut,
of how terrible.
Cut to Tyrone and like shrug, you know. It's like no, just continue with conversation. We're talking about normal things that normal people talk about all the time.
ActRaiser.
Yes, IGN's 19th ranked game. 19th ranked
game.
Okay.
Dave, do you hear that?
I do hear that. That's God talking to me.
Yes,
I do.
Exactly.
I do hear that. God is saying that he wants me to read from Wikipedia about ActRaiser. Although I got a question I want to ask you three. I'm glad we've got two guest hosts. Ashley Shake of Fist Puncher fame he really wants me to consider Dave reads from Wikipedia. He wants me to prepare. He wants me to prepare it beforehand and not read from Wikipedia. What do you think?
No.
Negative.
No, Dave Reads from Wikipedia has been a day one feature.
That's the oldest segment, I think.
Yeah. You've seen how well it goes when I try to go over the fly about something. So just like your ActRaiser, oh, fuck, who made that? I don't know, a fucking company?
Yeah. It would go poorly because I would just make it all up.
There's a lot of information
might be better,
in there.
Might be better if I just make it up.
No.
Then people know for sure that we're not experts on this shit.
I like it because I feel like you're reading to me.
Okay.
You'll be like,
I like that.
Here. You'll say, guys. And then you'll go into it and it makes it, I don't know. I like it. I don't want you to prepare it.
All right, guys. ActRaiser. I'm looking right at you, John Turley.
I know.
You're going to love this.
All right.
ActRaiser, released in Japan as ActRaiser, is a 1990 Super Nintendo Entertainment System action and city-building simulation game developed by Quintet and published by Enix, now Square Enix, that combines traditional side-scrolling platforming with urban planning god game sections. A sequel, ActRaiser 2, was released for the Super Nintendo in 1993. That is the first paragraph.
1990?
1990 in Japan.
So it would have had been like early 91.
That's very early. It wasn't. Yeah. It was not a release game. I thought that it was. I thought that it was a release game. It came out like 3 months after the North American release.
That's really impressive. Because
it plays like a very, very early.
Yeah. And I remember when I was living in Florida, there was a kid who lived down the street, and he got a Super Nintendo at launch. And I remember he had this game. I must not have made it over to his house until a little bit after the system came out.
You're busy playing Link's Awakening you stole from the other neighbor. So once you're done with that, then go to the other kid's house.
That was a neighbor in Pennsylvania. That's the only good thing in Pennsylvania was Link's Awakening.
But I remember the only exposure I had to this game as a kid was watching it being played on Nick Arcade.
Yes.
Because it was like that was every arcade challenge.
Oh,
was
wow.
Always ActRaiser.
Yes, you're right.
So I didn't know because my knowledge on it until we started doing research for, you know, to play it today and talk about it, I thought it was just like a Castlevania knockoff because all I saw was the first side-scrolling portion. The music is Castlevania-esque. The sound effects are, I swear they've got to be stolen, or maybe Castlevania stole them from this, because whenever the god character gets hit, the master gets hit, it's Simon Belmont's reaction noise. But that's why, based on the 15 seconds of gameplay, I thought this was a very different game than it actually is.
I remember also on Nick Arcade, they never, as much as they played ActRaiser, it was always like stage 5 or something like that. It was never just like straight up the stage that I had seen as a kid. It was always just like, oh my God, I can't believe they got to get 1,200 points at like stage 5. What's going on with that? They seem to do okay though.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had to like really suck to not get that challenge right. They had to like stand there for 4 or 5 seconds.
Was that the most infuriating thing when you're a kid? It's like watching a kid
not know how to play video games.
God.
You're on this show, you idiot.
Didn't you know what you're signing up for?
Yeah.
What did you think? You're just gonna skate through on your trivia knowledge?
Was it like was it like a common call that like it's like, well, you can either be on Nick Arcade or Double Dare. We're not sure which one. And all the jocks accidentally ended up on Nick Arcade.
And Joey Fatone ended up on Nick Arcade.
Joey really? Fatone did. Yeah,
it's there's a funny episode. He doesn't win though, sadly. I wish I would have got to see Joey Fatone trying to get the green gems.
Mm-hmm.
But
How is there not a modern day iteration of Guts? If there is one show that would translate well,
Ninja Warrior?
But like, you know, for kids, and so like, I don't know. I feel like you could redo Guts right now and it would be a success.
I mean, what's Nickelodeon's programming like anymore?
John, you might know. You have a child who watches Nickelodeon, right?
Yeah, but it's mostly like the really early stuff, like the Nick Jr. type stuff.
I think it's kind of similar to like Disney Channel.
Is it?
Isn't it?
It is, yeah. They have a lot of live action type stuff on there.
Mm, okay. So probably not so many game shows. Man, I was looking up
Doug.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember Doug.
They don't play that jam anymore.
No.
Man,
no.
That ABC reboot
is like the worst thing ever.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Super bad.
Charlie has a Doug book, though.
A Doug book? Yeah. There's a Doug book?
Mm-hmm.
Is it like the Doug omnibus? all things Doug. The Doug. It's the Doug universe Bible. Where if you ever write any Doug fan fiction, you need to reference it. You're like, all right, what street does BB live on? Okay, great. Got it.
150 pages of Bao Patty mayonnaise.
I didn't remember much about Doug, but it came back to me when I was reading that book to
you. I
vaguely remember that.
Next time you're on the show, bring the book.
All right.
We're gonna read from it and get
we're
sued.
We're going to give it away to a listener.
All right.
sorry, John's son.
I'm sorry, son. I had to give that book away.
We had to give that book to a stranger on the internet.
We had to promise that we would give it away to a stranger on the internet. That's not the same as giving it.
But I'd also heard, when I was doing preparation, I'd heard a lot that this game was based on Acts out of the Bible.
I heard that rumor from you.
Yeah, because I'd heard it. I'd read it somewhere online. So then I was playing this, and I was like, Meg, give me a rundown of Acts. And let me compare Acts to this game and see if we can put this rumor to... So one, what happens in Acts is Christians no longer eat kosher because of a dream that someone, I think Peter has, that it's okay to eat the unclean animals.
All right, check. That definitely
so that,
happened.
That happens.
That definitely happens. An act-raiser.
You slay traditional culture and start free everyone from kosher diets. Let's see.
That's a joke, by the way. Our two guest hosts are just kind of taking that at face value. No, that's not in the game.
No, I assume that it wasn't. But
Saul becomes Paul. So we don't see... You do see a man and a woman character, but no one goes from evil to good in the game. A eunuch gets baptized. I'm pretty sure there's no eunuch baptizing in ActRaiser.
Okay. No, I missed that. I must have fell asleep during that part.
Did you guys beat it?
Yes.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes, and that was actually, that made me feel really good because I used to play this game over at that friend's house.
Yeah.
Always wanted to beat it and never could. Did it.
What's going on?
Ding.
That's the hardest part, right? Yep. Is figuring out what's going on.
Yeah, once you get past Fillmore, then I feel like...
Because it's... I don't remember ever playing a game like this besides ActRaiser, where it was split up between platforming, and then you do a simulation, and then it's platforming.
I only played, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes of this game. But I loved it. I loved the setup of it. I wanted the controls to be a little bit tighter, but switching from side scroller to simulation and the simulation having a direct impact on the side scroller was, I mean, when you said it was a game that was released in 1990, I was like, damn, this is ahead of its time. This is very ahead of its time. Because it, Dave, you said something about it feeling like Populous where something happens. And I think that that's actually a pretty adept comparison.
The simulation part is it's kind of funny because it's the part that I didn't understand and also didn't like as a kid.
Yeah.
But playing it this time as an adult, I really, really like the simulation part. Like, I think it's so much better than the platforming.
Yes. That's the world building aspect.
Yeah. It's you're essentially, and I've heard a rumor, I don't know if it's true, but in Japan, this when it was released, you are playing as God. But in the North American release,
oh yeah, there's no way they're gonna let that slide.
Yeah, they switched that around, and in the Japanese version, it was all there were a whole bunch of like Christian undertones that just aren't in the North American release. Hmm. Same as Castlevania, I know they removed a whole bunch of crucifixes and stuff from Castlevania. But you play as a god essentially who is woken up, and you get to name your god, which is great because I want to just ask what everyone named their god. I went with Gozer. I planned on playing as a very vengeful, evil god, but I never really got the option. I can make earthquakes happen a lot, but you know what? I just kind of decided I'm going to be a friendlier.
And you have to, if you want to get your max level, you have to decimate your people a few times.
Yeah, I didn't do that. I you know what? I was like, it's not worth the two last health bars I got to collect. I'm going to go ahead and let these people live, I think. But, so what did you go with, Jacob?
Bro. I just wanted to get started playing as soon as possible, so my god's name was Bro.
You don't have to defend yourself. I think that's legitimate.
Bro, Sir Bro. They kept calling him Sir Bro. I really enjoyed that.
Tyler, what'd you name your god?
Tadpog.
Oh, that's nice.
Branding. Yeah.
That's nice. Yeah. That's really good.
John, what did you name yours?
I didn't play.
Exactly.
If you had eight characters.
We're going to count them.
Whiskey.
Thanks for putting me on the fucking spot.
Guys, Jacob did it, not me. Don't look at me.
Thanks, Jacob.
No one talk until he gives us an answer.
Yeah, just silence.
And you know none of this is going to get cut out.
No, none of it.
Podcast is 2 hours long, 30 minutes of content.
I don't know, man. Corellian.
Okay.
All right. It's probably too long, but whatever.
Yeah, there's no please in you, man.
Corella.
Nope. It's just enough.
Nice.
Yeah, that's the god of the elves in D&D. So, show notes.
We got our first link. So you make your god.
Yes.
And then Cupid is there. He wakes you up. and he says, a demon has woken up and is essentially just destroying your world. And I think this demon's name like Tanzra or something like that, right?
Tanzra, yes.
And it's your job to take care of it. And you take care of it in two ways. You take care of it by fighting the monsters, Tanzra's monsters, and rebuilding the world. The fighting the monsters part is all the platforming. And the rebuilding the world is all the simulation part. And Jacob, you nailed it, man, because one of my favorite things is that they tie in together. Mm-hmm. Because the stuff you do in the simulation and the world building part, you level up your character, you level up your god that way and gain more health and you gain magic spells and your followers start giving you offerings and you use those things in the platforming.
It's very D&D in that your power is relative to how many worshipers you have.
Yeah.
Although it's not exclusively, there was a thing that I thought was very interesting that you're not exclusively fighting the monsters in the platforming because there are some monsters on the overworld map and they, just on the first level, they manifested as bats, but they have these distinct little spawn points and you can end up building roads to send your people there to close the spawn points. But for the longest time, I didn't know that that was even available to me. And I also had no idea of how to defend myself. So I just kept getting hit a whole bunch when I was a little baby Cupid. And then halfway through was like, wait a second, I can shoot arrows.
And that's eye opening. Because that same thing, I loved watching, or I had my eyes closed. I wasn't watching, but I just heard you all of a sudden be like, oh, you can do that? And I knew exactly what you were referring to. I was like, he just found out he can fire arrows.
Yeah. The world opened up. Mm-hmm. It became a much more fun game at that point, obviously, because that's a pretty important feature. but it was it became so fun to try and guide my guys around and be like, okay, all right, I just need to hold them off. I need to make sure that my guys are able to get to this point. And in order to make sure that they can get to this point, I need to be able to provide cover for them so that they can shut this down for me. I don't know. The overall world map stuff was really fun. And if it wasn't for like a power snafu, I would honestly probably still be playing it. I don't know that we would be recording right now because I would be playing it right now. I was really enjoying it.
I like, Tyler, that you mentioned D&D because like this game felt really like, it's in my notes that this game felt like an AD&D game to me because on the platforming levels, you're a god. You don't go down in your god form and fight monsters. Mm-hmm. You manifest yourself as a ball of light that falls down to earth and possesses a statue that looks like a paladin.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that statue goes and rampages through the level. Everything about this game reminded me of like old school D&D.
Yeah. And I what did you guys feel? Because I felt like, and of course I did not play it nearly enough to beat it, but I felt like the one thing that really hindered it were the controls were not great.
Not for the especially on the platforming, because you can only basically go one direction at a time. So like you can't jump and swing or jump and move in an arc and swing. It's kind of on like a grid, and I really didn't like that at all.
Yeah, it felt kind of chunky. Because you're right, the thing that bothered me the most is when a monster would be approaching and I knew I needed to like step up to it and swing. And it bothered me that I couldn't do that simultaneously. Yes. I had to like input, step forward, wait, swing.
Yeah.
And then by that time, the monster's moved.
Mm-hmm. Well, I died. You know, that was the most frustrating part of the game because I died, I don't know, 5 times on the first boss. Just because I couldn't get that through my head of you have to input these in a specific order and you can't just, as you're running up, attack, 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 and then back off and attack, attack, attack.
Yeah, and I think after like coming off the tails of Super Castlevania 4, it made the platforming in this game feel even clunkier because I feel like it's pretty good. I mean, it's pretty good in Super Castlevania 4 in which you can, you know, attack in all these different directions and you can jump more fluidly. I mean, it's not perfect, but it's
better.
It's better.
I'm not sure why it's not super tight. Because like this, the way this game plays is kind of similar to Zelda 2 in that, you know, you go from side-scroller to overworld.
Uh-huh.
And the way Link controls and the side-scrolling levels on the NES is just perfectly smooth.
Is it good? I haven't played it.
He plays, it's very, very good. So to know that the NES fucking nailed it and then, okay, here, roll up the SNES. Oh, okay. kind of disappointing, but it makes up for it in other ways.
Well, but at the same time, isn't that just sort of the way it is with most, you know, new console releases? Now, granted, that was very early in the process of it, but, you know, you look at the difference between, like, the end of Xbox going into Xbox 360, or even now the end of Xbox 360 going into Xbox, where they've really figured out how to maximize everything that they can do with the Xbox 360. But a lot of the stuff on the one is sort of clunky, you know?
So it's like an RPG where you get a new class and have to go back to level one. Sure, the new class is stronger, but you go back to level one.
Yeah, you got to learn it all over again.
I can see that. Let's see, because the levels you get... You come down as your god, and the first level you fight a centaur, which I thought that Fillmore, I feel like, was the most challenging part of the game.
Fillmore is the first area of the world. And I think you're right because you learn everything in Fillmore.
And you're weak and you're trying to learn things. So it's just once you can move past Fillmore, then I feel like the game is just once you know what you're doing, you can roll through it. Because this game took me 5 hours, which is about what you told me when I asked you.
Yeah, there's a site called... Oh, man, now I'm not going to remember the name, but it's like how long to beat.
Huh.
And it is you type in a game and they poll users on how long it took them to beat the game. And I think the average time was 5 hours. It took me longer than that. I'm not going to lie. It took me 2 nights of solid playing.
Yeah.
But I agree. I think the beginning was probably the hardest. Learning the game is the hardest. Mm-hmm. But I think once you learn it, It's just a matter of maximizing how you play.
Because it is, it does get, the simulation part gets a little repetitive over time, but there are a new, few new different elements and new miracles you have to perform that keep it from being too monotonous. It's never like, yes, I'm doing this over and over again, but it doesn't feel like a slog.
I never got bored in the simulation. Like, I never felt like it was grindy. I loved it because they intersperse your worshipers. Like, your worshipers want to talk to you, and they'll talk to you a lot, and they'll tell you just how they feel, and they'll, Teddy is lost, and you need to give him bread. They'll tell you that. And so you go, if you happen to find Teddy coming out of his little cave, you can drop him a little bread loaf. I mean, it's stuff like that that just kind of takes away from just killing this monster, build this city here. Yeah,
there's a guy who is injured. Whenever you seal one of the monsters, he gets a mortal injury in it, and he goes and waits on your temple steps. And somebody prays to you saying, like, he just wants, he wants to know you feel something about him giving his life. So he wants to feel your tears on his face before he dies. So you go to the temple and you make it rain, and you see his figure like bow down and then die.
You bring a stack of ones over to him. just bam, 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 bam,
bam. Well, and I feel like that's such a major difference between ActRaiser and Populous insofar as your I say insofar as too much on this podcast. That is a thing.
I didn't notice that until right now, so we're going to count it from here on out.
No, I'm going to have to keep my brain on it.
I'm going to drink every time you say it now.
Oh, there we go.
I guarantee you don't have enough alcohol. the main difference between Populous and this game, I think, or the simulation part of this game, is that your followers have personality, and you care about your followers.
They're not just cavemen.
Yeah, exactly. They're not
faceless,
they're not random guys cavemen walking back and forth, you know, to a heartbeat. Like, it's they have issues that they want you to do. Whereas the people in Populous, you kind of get the sense if you just didn't do anything, they'd be like, yeah, well, all right, we'll make do.
Yeah, I think that's 100% right. And I also think that not just the people, not just the characters, but like the actual game itself has more personality because it's like you said, it's not just a heartbeat. There's music and it's upbeat and you're controlling. You're controlling an avatar, which gives you another link to this game as opposed to you controlling a cursor.
Cursor, yeah.
Yeah. No, you're right. Because there's normally you just, the cut and dry of it is there are two bosses per each area of land, and you go, you defeat one boss so people can move in, and then you help the people who move in build their city and seal the monsters. And at one point, when you seal enough monsters or build enough land, they'll uncover where the evil is coming from. And then you come down and beat the second part of the level and seal that evil and then get access to the next part of the level.
Right.
But then there are little things you can do here and there, like clearing away rocks with like your lightning ability. So then you can tell people to go search over there and they might find a magic spell or find an extra life for you or find another magic tick for you. Let's see. And there are such like little things in that game. Like at one point, I know the village of Bloodpool, which makes sense at first because all their sea has been turned to blood. But even after it's turned back to regular water, they still call themselves Bloodpool.
Well, it was named that before that happened, right? That was
I would have changed my name. Town.
That's branding. You can't you can't lose that branding.
It's like, well, you know,
tourism to worry about.
Yeah.
We had a lot of people that came to Bloodpool that wanted to see the Bloodpool.
Yeah.
Frankly, we're a little bit distressed that you changed the Bloodpool from blood.
They're already incorporated. I mean, you can't go through all that.
But people at one point in that city started to become really angry. And the people ask, so people are getting upset. We need to find something to soothe them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then like two villages later, people there discover music. So then you can go and take the abilities that certain towns develop and give them to other towns and have them grow and get more population to make you level up more. Like you take the gift of music from one city, soothe those other people. Then because they're soothed, they start fishing more and they discover how to use compasses. Take the compasses, go to another city and they discover an ancient tablet. You go to another city and give the ancient tablet to these explorer people and then they'll find more items for you and things like that.
Quest chain.
Yeah.
Which is really nice in a game like this because it was unexpected for me. I have a really important question.
Yeah.
And that is, in the platforming stages, you find power-ups in spacesuits? What are those? What are those things you destroy and get power-ups?
They look like sconces.
Yeah, I guess I just looked at them as little sort of, you know, crystal ball on a pedestal is sort of...
We're on the fence, it feels like. Yeah. They look like a spacesuit to me. And that's, even as a kid, I was like, why is there space? Why do you get hearts out of a spacesuit? This makes no sense.
Well, but maybe this is the far, far, far future. Because
the remnants
of an ancient civilization.
And he's trying to destroy science to further religion
in
his own power base. Okay, gotcha.
Dude.
Done.
Mind blown.
We just figured out ActRaiser, y'all.
somewhere, like the creator of ActRaiser is like, oh, I can die in peace now. Lays down, crosses his arms in a coffin, closes the door.
Rain on me. my favorite thing about the blood pool stage and the platforming is one of the monsters looks like fat Elektra, and she throws rocks at you.
Yep.
I don't know what that's all about, but I really enjoyed that.
Because in blood pool, you fight like a manticore in the first half, and the second half you fight what looks like a magician, but is actually a werewolf.
More D&D shit. Let's just say that. More D&D shit.
And then, let's see, the third city is Cassandora, and I guess this is a Star Wars thing that they do, because it's a desert city,
right?
And you have to clear away the desert so they can grow crops. But when you're fighting the first part in the desert, you fight this huge creature, and the boss is this huge plant, animal, creature kind of thing in the sand. It's called a Dagobah.
Oh, no, I didn't realize that. I didn't catch the name.
No, yeah. Kidding.
So you
I was really hoping you were going to describe a Rancor there.
Well, it's interesting, man, because it's like when I started playing that level, the first thing that came to mind was Super Star Wars, because it was like I immediately kind of had
Did you have like PTSD?
Yeah, like my gut kind of like clenched up a little bit, and it was like, oh, this is going to be a really, really bad level.
Those evil and powerful sand people. That's all I know. It's like that masterful race. I've heard the sand people. Let's see. The boss of
that was the best laugh ever.
The Pharaoh.
That's a new drop. Don't worry, Josh. I'm bringing drops in.
So yeah, the Pharaoh, which was just like the kind of stereotypical sarcophagus head of like Ramses the First.
Yeah, that's a boss. It's a big one.
If you use magic on it, nothing. Super easy.
Did you use magic a lot? Mm-hmm. I didn't use magic a lot.
On all the bosses, I use magic, yeah. Which is one magic spell. There are four, and I just used one. It was all I needed.
I only found three. I found the fireball that you get like at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found this what I just called Meteo.
It's Stardust. That's what I use all the time.
That's the best spell.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got another one that was like Guardian Light or something like that. Mm-hmm. Never used it. Mm-hmm. Never once even tried it. Because Meteo was the best.
Yeah.
Starfall.
And there's
a light,
and then there's a shield type weapon that floats around you.
Is that any good?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
You get that from.
Glad I didn't waste my time on that one.
And the fifth city, the island city.
Yeah.
There's that bird looking island.
How'd you get rid of the trees?
You can get rid of one tree with your lightning bolt.
Really?
And yeah, after that one, and then you find an ancient tablet, take it to those people, and they'll start sailing back and forth.
That's bullshit.
And if you destroy that, they won't find anything until you destroy that one tree with lightning. Then they find, oh, hey, here's a magic spell.
Well, yeah, they told me. They said there's too many trees on that island. I don't know what we're going to do. And I tried destroying it with lightning. I guess I missed the one tree that you can destroy with lightning.
There's too many trees on that island. Get rid of one of them.
Hey, God. You busy? You busy fighting Tanzra?
We're super demanding.
Look, I mean, we have the technology to get to this island, but don't have the technology to cut any fucking trees down. I don't know what we build our houses out of. I don't know.
Yeah, they start off really thankful, and then immediately like are like, do things for me, God.
Ugh, mortals,
I'm lazy.
God. Jesus, come move my jaw. But let's see then.
That would have been a great sort of like secret final level, is that's the reason that evil has overrun the world, is because you come down as a statue and then murder all of your followers for getting too lazy. And then it's like, and now I sleep for 400 years until Tanzra rises again.
Let's see there. What, Itos, you fight a dragon and then a flame wheel, which was just like an orc face in a hula hoop. That just shoots fire.
Yep. That's the first thing I thought when I saw it, too.
You find the island has like a large plant that made me feel like I was playing Star Wars again, like the level where you find Yoda in Empire Strikes Back.
Dagobah.
Is that is that the plant world?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, that was the desert world.
Swamp, swamp world.
Swamp world. North Wall, which is the snow. That got a little frustrating for me because, like, you get a lot of, like, monsters take a lot of hits to kill. And, like, there are these big golden skulls that can earthquake. So as soon as, like, my people build some shit, these monsters just tear it down. So it took forever trying to... They take, like, 10 hits to kill with Cupid. So you're trying to do that constantly and keep up with it, letting your people try to get to the places where they spawn to seal them.
You get to use sunshine a lot there.
Yep.
Melt some snow.
Did you say the North Wall?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Yep.
Nice. Or the
They're big fans of George R. R. Martin.
It's the Night's Watch there.
And then once you kill the Merman Fly and the Arctic Dragon, then you unlock Deathheim.
Yep.
And Deathheim...
That's where Tanzer lives.
I was disappointed. I get that it's 1990 this comes out, so it's not a horrible trope at this point, but...
I think it was.
Even then?
Yeah, dude, yeah. I think it was, because there's plenty of NES games that did this.
So you have to go through the boss gauntlet.
Boss gauntlet. Boss. You don't have to fight all of the bosses, but enough to be like, oh, damn it.
Man, mm-hmm. F a boss gauntlet.
Because you have to fight six bosses, six of the bosses you've fought previously, mm-hmm. and they're beefed up. Mm-hmm. They're faster. And you have to beat them before you can fight Tanzer.
And then once you get to Tanzer, I felt like the boss gauntlet was much more difficult than Tanzer.
Yeah.
Because you suddenly get a projectile weapon mm-hmm. when you're fighting Tanzer.
Like your sword emits this wind blast yeah. when you swing it.
So then it's... I didn't get hit in his first form. And then in his second form, it's just avoiding these two waves for him to open. Then it's like an R-type fight almost. Of this weird alien creature opening some kind of mouth where you see a blue thing that you have to shoot with your wave beam, and that's...
Yeah, I think he's got like a blue heart or something. He looks all skeletal, and you can see through his rib cage he's got this like blue orb that only opens when he's attacking. There's a metaphor there buried somewhere.
But then after you beat him, I feel like you'd like the ending a lot, Jacob, because then Cupid's like, let's go see how all the people that we've helped are doing. And you go through town by town, and it talks about, like, your followers and what they're doing and who sacrificed what and how they're being remembered. And then you go through and see how they're advancing. And then...
I would love that.
Yeah. Then Cupid kind of, like, what do we do now? What as gods do we do now that people don't need us anymore? What purpose do we serve? I guess we go back to sleep.
Earthquake.
I'll come save you. It's like, what is our purpose? What's our purpose now if people don't need us? What do we do? It's good and it's bad. And then you go back to sleep.
Well,
that's pretty deep.
There's a typical Enix, don't worry. There's a typical Enix like darkness to it because that kid that I mentioned earlier that you save, you give the bread loaf to, when Cupid's taking you on your tour of the world, he tells you that in Bloodpool, where you save that boy, they draw lots to see who gets sacrificed to you.
Gosh.
It was Teddy. It was Teddy, the guy you gave the bread to.
Oh, that is super dark. Wow.
So that kid died for you.
Wow. Holy crap.
And this is because this is part of the spirit, like Quintet Games made Soul Blazer, mm-hmm. Illusion of Gaia, ActRaiser, and then
Terranigma
that we didn't get in the States.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're all like a spiritual four part game.
Yeah, is ActRaiser considered part of that or not?
I'd read that it was.
Okay.
Wait, hold on. Just one second. Can I go back to Teddy being sacrificed?
Yeah, please.
Like, if God literally showed up as moving statues to, like, kill bad guys, I don't know. I kind of think that that's, like, a fair trade. Like,
human sacrifice is worth it?
Human sacrifice is worth it. If God literally becomes, like, a moving statue to smite your enemies.
Like, his avatar comes down and cleans house for you.
Like, and is, like, and just gets rid of all of the, like, bad guys and is like, yeah, okay, all right, that's, you know, I'm not saying that I want Teddy to die, but, like...
Don't draw lots. Give me the one you call Teddy.
Exactly. It's so, you know, that's not bad.
And you're God, wouldn't you know that Teddy had been sacrificed?
But you're not God.
Right. You're Sir Bro.
You're Sir Bro. Oh, okay.
You're busy fighting the incarnation of Satan while they're sacrificing Teddy.
Yeah.
So maybe, yeah, I'm sure maybe, if you maybe were around, Teddy's...
you'd be like, oh, wait, hold on. Not that one. Give me a different one.
Or was it Teddy's sacrifice that gave you the wave power. Sword to beat the devil?
Could be. Oh, thanks, man. Teddy. I knew you could do it. Thanks, buddy.
Hey, your soul was delicious. You don't exist anymore. Thank you.
I wish that Cupid at the end would have been like, what do we do now that Teddy's dead? And then just roll credits. Remember when you killed that little boy, sir, bro? And
thanks for playing ActRaiser.
And then they name all the credits are just Teddy. Directed by Teddy. Music produced by Teddy.
Yuki-chan's papa.
Did you guys have any achievements?
I do. I got some achievements.
Hey, you like this game.
I did like this game. Spoilers. First achievement I've got is Bloodless. In order to unlock Bloodless, you need to finish the Blood Pool platforming stages without being hit by a single enemy. It's pretty possible. It's possible. Not likely.
It's possible.
Probably not going to happen. And then my second achievement is Beyond the Wall. In order to unlock Beyond the Wall, you need to get to Deathheim. That's what it was called. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a silly name for an island. It's essentially a butthole in the ocean.
Yeah, because the way it opens up, yeah.
I just wanted to say it to see Jacob's reaction. I wish everyone could have seen it.
Let's see. I had Bokob's Bevy of Blessings. Mm-hmm. And you unlock that by getting all the magic spells. Bokob being the god of magic in D&D. So we're just talking about D&D gods all over the place.
You unlock that. I don't unlock that.
Right. Let's see. George Lucas going to sue somebody. And you unlock that by killing Dagobah. And then two Tars, bro. You do that by beating the Centaur and the Minotaur without getting hit.
All right. Jacob, achievements, go. You got this. No one say anything until the answers.
There's an achievement called hashtag best name ever. And if it's if you name your god, sir, bro.
Fair.
Or Teddy.
Or titty. Titty or teddy? Just give her those teddies.
I've never seen my mom laugh so hard as one time we were eating.
When she listened to her all call-in show.
When we were at the truck stop down the road eating after church one time. And it was her and her best friend who is... Brandon of Axelay fame's mom. They were looking at all the t-shirts.
I don't want to interrupt you, but I do just want to say that I am absolutely going to. But I think it's about, it might be the most country thing that has ever been said on this on this show, is that we were eating at the truck stop down the road.
Well, it's literal.
I know.
Saying, oh, man, down the road on there, man. We just get up and go town.
This is the truck stop on exit 27.
No, I think that's funny.
There is a truck stop right down the road. And that is where we went to eat. Truck stop down the road.
What's hilarious about that is like that is nothing to any of us. Yes. We're all just like, yeah, okay, we know what you're talking about.
Exactly, but
like,
which
anyone
one.
Else listening to this show is like, what the fuck is going on with these people?
I bet I've eaten at that truck stop.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, everyone has eaten at that truck stop.
Yeah.
I haven't in like 10 years, but yeah, we see that a lot. But they're looking through the t-shirts and there's just one sleep shirt. Like it, you know, comes down to like your knees.
I love looking at these shirts, man.
And it's just two very highly embroidered teddy bears where the boob should be. And it says, look at these teddies.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, they lost their shit. Like, mom picked it up, brought it back to the table to show my dad. Everybody's laughing.
You know that's comedy when she brings it back to the table.
I bet I could find a t-shirt there with like lightning in the background and a wolf in the front.
You're damn right.
There's
something.
Three wolf owl.
You couldn't get out without seeing that shirt or a shirt featuring Tweety.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like with a cup of coffee and like looking pissed off and says like I don't do Mondays.
Or Sylvester, or what? I remember seeing Sylvester and the Tasmanian Devil wearing like the backwards jeans, like
yes,
crisscross.
Like crisscross. Yeah.
But nowadays it would be like it would definitely be Taz wearing like an Ed Hardy shirt.
I've got that tattooed on my back.
That's what's up.
Yeah. It says, and then in like black letter, it says non-traditional for life.
That's the sign of classiness, right?
Why did it make you feel bad, the Tweety reference?
That stuff just makes me really, it makes my skin crawl. Like, it really does. It really does.
I think of fat people on the little Walmart scooters when I think of Tweety shirt.
We don't say fat when Jacob's on the show, John. He doesn't like it.
I don't approve.
It's okay.
Go with poor. Jacob's fine with that one. What?
It's
just
true.
Say poor people. Jacob's totally fine with that one.
I mean, when I think about Looney Tunes
morbidly
characters,
obese people,
like Tweety Bird, I don't do Mondays. I just think it makes my skin crawl. It really does.
No, I know. Well, and especially like growing up where we grew
up,
it's indicative of like, you know, a certain type of person. I'm not going to say white trash, but I think
we all know what you mean.
But yeah, and
we're gonna say people that if you were to drop something in front of them, they're going to yell at you as opposed to help you pick it up. You don't have good memories of these people.
Yeah, and you know, so I totally understand what you are saying.
What's funny is I think that I am oversensitive to that living in this part of the country because it's kind of like I go out of my way to like make sure people know that I don't wear Looney Tunes shirts.
You know what we need to do is we need to start wearing Looney Tunes shirts. We need to like
take it back, the revolution begins.
Educated, interesting, erudite people.
Have you ever seen one that fits?
Yes, exactly. Like, we need to start wearing like slim fit, like the shirt, Looney Tunes shirts.
Yeah.
We're gonna look great.
That gap or like Hollister cut.
Looney Tunes
with the Looney Tunes.
And it's gonna be like within a couple of years that stigma will be gone completely.
We sound like four Taryn Landons taking in our bag phones to show our family how we're better than them.
Oh man, that's hilarious. I had an ex-girlfriend who had a bag full. This is so ridiculous.
Just the Looney Tunes. Just stop with the Looney Tunes.
It's indicative of, I guess we're not saying white trash, so we're just going to say
you like can
uncultured Caucasian.
Well,
ill-mannered uncultured Caucasian.
The UC.
You know, I certainly don't have a, I don't think any of us have a predisposition against, this has turned into a long diatribe on it.
I know, I love this. All of a sudden the show got interesting as fuck.
I'm going to cut out most of the accuracy stuff.
But I certainly don't think that we, any of us have a certain predilection against Looney Tunes or even necessarily white trash. I feel like we probably just all have bad memories about, frankly, shithead bullies who, you know, would, you know, more than likely probably had like bad home lives for whatever reason, would come to school and take that shit out on us and would be wearing, you know,
Taz was their dad.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
That child was raised by the Tasmanian devil.
And we still, as, you know, men in our 30s, still have like, you know, those formative experiences mean a lot.
Still associated.
So anyway,
I just think it's gross, man, to have like Tweety Bird, like exact, like when you described that, it was like, ugh, it's like Tweety Bird. There was something special about Looney Tunes when I was a kid. And then now all of a sudden it's just like, I don't know, fucking make a shirt, dude.
It's always Tweety Bird on a shirt that used to be white.
It's sort of yellow.
I know exactly what you're talking about. It's like, did you buy it at the store like that?
I can also relate a little bit. Like, I've seen Mickey Mouse too, so it's not like it's exclusively like shovel us all on Warner Brothers.
And
I've
Winnie the Pooh.
Winnie the Pooh.
Winnie the Pooh is a big one.
Just you know, I don't know if this is funny or dark. Cartoon shirts. Let's just leave.
Yeah, I think. I think we've turned a corner with this conversation.
I don't know if it's funny, dark, or racist. Like, I don't know what we're doing.
Wait, we can't be racist.
No, we can definitely be racist.
We can absolutely be racist. If there's anyone who can be racist, it's four white guys sitting in a room
on a podcast
in Western Kentucky.
Okay. So let me retract that previous statement. Let's say that there won't be any issues with us saying white trash.
I don't know, man.
We can say that, right?
I heard a story recently about there was a girl who got suspended for saying white trash.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
Yeah. I have a friend that's his trigger word. Like, if you call him white trash, something like that, that's about the worst thing you can say to him.
It's not a nice thing to say.
No, it's not. It's absolutely not a nice thing to say.
It's indicative of ignorance. I mean, I think that's applicable to lots of other terms.
Yeah, and I certainly don't think, oh gosh, this is...
Oh, like, I love this.
It's like a sociology episode.
I love this. This is not happening. I do. I think this is great.
Is this like just what happens like when I come on the show?
Yeah, thanks, Jacob. You're responsible.
We go off on crazy, like... diatribes like this, but I think that and here I am continuing to talk about it.
I know it's the best.
Just these, you know,
never mind.
Looney Tunes. Insofar as white trash.
I don't know that I said insofar as since I noted I it.
John's have. Glass is I, empty. I think he was just drinking.
But yeah, I'll say this. I don't think that I agree with you insofar.
You can say what you want to say, man.
But I totally understand why that is someone's trigger word. I absolutely understand, or trigger phrase, because it is absolutely not a nice thing to call someone. But it's because it is talking about more than likely your poverty level or your intelligence level, or, you know, it's making presumptions about the way that you live your life as sort of like any derogatory term is. But
I think we need a tangent to this tangent. I think trigger words are bullshit. I think that's just an excuse to get away with some burst of anger, right? Because when did that, all of a sudden this phrase trigger word came into my reality where I was like, oh, you mean someone says something, you get mad? Okay,
yeah.
That's been around since we were fucking talking.
Yeah, that's. Yeah, I also think that that's bullshit. In the same way that you can't, you don't have an excuse for, like, I don't know. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, sorry. I'm interrupting you.
No, please, go for it.
Go ahead. Well, no, like you were saying, I mean, I think it's associated with a particular level of poverty, but I've known some pretty well-to-do folks that would still fall under that, easily under that moniker.
They love Looney Tunes.
they roll out of bed with the Sylvester shirt down to their ankles.
They've got
huge mansion. Wait, the Aroomba is going through.
You've seen a Tweety Bird pissing, urinating on something on the back of a $50,000 truck.
That's a good point.
It's true. Let's please stop talking about this.
We're done.
I really enjoyed talking about it, but I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Hey, Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
I've had a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about socioeconomic well-being and about just general human.
Cupid.
Yeah, just general.
Cupid titties.
You know, just human life. Yeah. I love that all started from a shirt that you were describing.
We've
been on like a 20-minute
shirt at the truck stop down the road.
Please say ignorant ass, please.
I really like to imagine Tyrone's mom saying ignorant ass because she thinks something is funny.
Randy, you ignorant ass. Teddy's, you ignorant ass.
You don't get it? Teddy's. It's for titties. You ignorant ass. Anyway, I'm buying it.
Tyler.
Yes.
You did a very, very important question. If you were to buy this game on Amazon, how much do you think this game would be used? This is a question for everybody. Let's open it up to everybody.
$23.
$23. Locked in. Jacob.
$35.
$23.35. Okay. John.
$16.
$16. Closest to going over. That did not make sense at all.
Well, there is. I mean, hopefully there's someone who's closest to going over, but they did not go over.
Thank you. Closest without going over was Jacob. Actual retail value of ActRaiser for the Super Nintendo on Amazon at the time of this recording was $48.87.
I felt like it was one of the more expensive games that we've had. Yeah,
I felt like it was rare. I did not look this up because I did not know that we were doing ActRaiser. I did not know I was going to be on this show. But I remember hearing about this game being super rare.
If any of you want to sell this game to Amazon, they'll pay you 63 cents for it on a gift card.
That's a cool thing.
Yeah. So just throwing that out there. Tyler. Yes, I've had fun today.
Yeah.
I really have. I'm glad I woke up from my nap to do this. Sometimes I'm not, but this really, I think this panned out. I was a little worried in the middle, but man, at the end.
We brought it back.
We really did. If you were to give this game a beard that just summed up, I don't know, everything about ActRaiser, put everything about ActRaiser in a beard, and what kind of beard would that be?
I'd have to give it the beard of St. Peter.
Okay.
So I don't want to give it like Jesus' beard or God's beard. Because that's too much. I enjoyed this game. Too much beard? It's too much God for the beard.
Too good of a beard.
I need to lower it down just a little bit. Yeah, so we'll put like St. Peter, first pope. So the first pope's beard.
St. Peter, you say he keeps it at an 8?
Probably.
Yeah, okay.
Probably. He also might have been a rabbit, so.
Okay. Makes sense.
A cute white rabbit beard.
Okay. If you were to give this game a pair of glasses, what kind of glasses do you think you'd give it?
I would give this, it's one that Miller will laugh at me about.
I know we're in for a doozy because as soon as I asked you, you turned your notes closer to you. So,
so I can read them. So I would give it, it's glasses that are made of gelatin.
Okay.
And that it's okay for Christians to eat now since the book of Acts.
Okay. So they wear, Jesus. Can someone explain it? Jacob, you got it?
Well, I think it's. Why
is Miller loving this?
Because we're not doing just really weird ass glasses like this.
I had some glasses the other day that you would love, because you can eat horses after acts, right?
Yep.
Is that what that means?
Okay.
So
gelatin is not kosher.
So you'd eat your glasses. You like this game so much that you would eat your glasses.
I would eat glasses made out of things I couldn't, because it's like, what am I going to do with all this like gelatin around from boiling these animal bones? I can't eat it. Oh, hey, Axe came around. Now I can eat it. This is like playing ActRaiser.
Okay. I get it now. Thank you. Man, Christianity is pretty cool.
This was...
Tyler just about did a spit take.
Yeah. Man, there's about to be a Fresca incident.
Tadpog, Beards and Glasses, brought to you by Fresca.
That's all I got. Good night. Good night, Internet.
a few points I want to make before we start shutting everything down.
Too late. I'd already did it. This is all a long stinger at this point.
Dave puts his head on the table.
We got a very nice handwritten 3-page letter from Phil Hawkins.
Yeah, that was nice. I like that. He also drew us... As penises, but that's somewhere at my house.
You're not. That's staying in your house.
Yeah, sure. That's in my special place.
It's framed.
Yeah.
After reading the letter, I feel like I should tell him that I am circumcised, so I'm just not some bearded turtlenecked penis man running around.
Did he ask you that in the letter, or are you just offering that up?
It's like he assumed. Yeah. Like, because I have a beard, I'd be uncircumcised.
What is that Venn diagram? What does that look like between bearded men and circumcised?
It must be an Oregon thing.
You think?
Probably.
Okay. Fucking hipsters not getting circumcised.
And he and I both write in all caps.
Oh.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
Are you left-handed, Phil? Because I'm left-handed. Yeah. Is it a left-handed thing? A second thing I want to do is, today is Oathbreaker Blake Woods' birthday.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Actually, it was yesterday.
Yeah, we're a little late now, so good. Fuck him. But I'm still...
I just wanted to point it out. We didn't like him enough to actually call him on his birthday.
Well, when we started recording, it was still his birthday.
Barely. But true.
So I'm just going to call him real quick, and we'll wish him a happy birthday.
We're all going to have to talk pretty loudly to be heard.
Should we sing happy birthday or something?
it's ringing.
It's one. It's two over there. I think.
It's two in the morning.
Hello,
Blake. Yeah.
Hey, Blake.
Blake.
Yes.
Hey, Blake.
Hey, man. How's it going?
What's up, Blake?
Good. Well, how are y'all?
We're good. We're recording Tadpog right now.
Right now.
Can you hear us? Okay.
What? I can hear y'all. Yeah.
We're recording Tadpog right now.
Awesome.
You're on the air.
Hi, Tadpog Nation.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, we wanted to wish you happy birthday.
It's technically not my birthday.
Yeah, I know. I just said that.
Well, Shut up. Be cool about it, Blake. Be cool about it. Don't be some shithead about it, Blake.
Hey,
damn.
Hey, Blake, I got a really important question before we go any further. Do you own any shirts with Tweety Bird on it?
Do I own any shirts with what?
With Tweety Bird on it.
No.
Okay.
He knows what's up. Yeah, did you hear that?
Guys, someone who listens to this show is going to have a shirt with Tweety Bird on it.
I know. I'm
we
so
are
sorry.
Really sorry about that.
I'm not.
We understand.
I'm not sorry
about it.
Do yourself a favor. Take that shirt off and burn it. You'll get a girlfriend.
I'm sure this will be very funny at some point.
Well, just wait about an hour.
Really. It'll actually probably be pretty depressing.
What game are y'all doing?
ActRaiser.
Yeah. Every time I hear the word ActRaiser, I just think of Hellraiser and that guy with all the pins coming out of his face.
Oh, we didn't make that connection.
Yeah, we didn't think about that. We just thought about Axe from the Bible.
Yeah, and Axes from D&D.
Put that in the show notes.
Hellraiser, writing
Hellraiser,
it down.
Done. Tyler's got it.
Yeah.
But that's all he wanted to say.
Yep.
If you're wondering how Tweety Bird t-shirts could possibly tie into ActRaiser, well, just wait about an hour.
Yep.
Yeah, just download the episode. It'll be out in like an hour.
Yeah. And wait up an hour and then listen to an hour of us talking and never sleep again.
And that's what I'm doing.
I'll do it as I fall asleep.
That's sweet.
Stupid.
Yeah.
All right, Blake. We love you.
Love y'all too.
Happy
Bye.
Birthday.
Bye.
Hey, bye, Blake.
Bye.
That was good. That was worth our time.
Yeah,
I think so. Hey, I think
that should be a regular thing. Calling someone randomly.
Oh, by the way, Blake paid us $200 to do that. So, if anyone out there, you want us to give you a call on your birthday. We'll do it.
Well,
just send us $200.
Oh, what? You guys? Who is this calling me?
I didn't get that joke.
Because he's like, he was playing.
Yeah.
That's.
I forgot that what I joke. Set up.
I was yes-anding you.
Yeah, no, I know. Oh, I'm like, forget about improv, man. I'm all about like, no. I'm a bat. No.
No. No. But
I got a gun.
Bang.
Mr. Scott, stop.
Give me all your guns.
Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find us on iTunes or Stitcher. So don't miss the next episode. Next Wednesday, we'll be talking about F-Zero.
That's what we thought we were talking about today.
Yep.
But we were wrong.
Yeah, I thought that you guys were going to be talking about F-Zero too. So when when I was driving here and you were like, hey, do you want to be on the show? In my head, I was like, fuck no, I do not. I hate racing games. I would just be talking about Captain Falcon the entire time.
That's probably what we'll do.
Captain Falcon with a coffee cup saying, I hate Mondays.
I can see that. I'd buy that shirt.
As for next Monday, we haven't really talked about it yet, so we'll see.
Who knows?
Maybe Bastion?
How long are you in?
I'll be here for a couple of days. Maybe Bastion? Maybe? Question mark?
Okay.
Maybe?
Maybe. Let me get by with a maybe.
No, yeah, I'm okay with that. I'm here.
I know. I really want to do it. Yeah. I'm also in the middle of some stuff right now.
No.
I'm in a bad place.
Well, but we've all played Bastion, haven't we?
Yeah.
Listen, and this is honestly probably a conversation that we can have off air.
No, this is a perfect place for it. I mean, we're just going to wind up talking about, probably more Looney Tunes. So yeah, let's do it. Fuck it. Let's record it right after this one.
Why not? Just keep it rolling.
Let's just do it. Give me a drug term. Let me bump a rail. Is that a thing? Is that a thing?
It is, but
I think it's a blowout thing as opposed to a real drug thing.
That definitely is something that happens in gay bars.
Well, that explains. That's the only place I've heard it.
Either way, Dave is waking up. Just bump a rail.
Or is that sounded so natural when you said it too?
I didn't know. As I was saying, I was like, I don't know if this is a drug thing or a skateboarding thing.
Let me grind a nollie. Yeah. We'll see what happens.
Leave us a 5-star review if you'd be so kind.
You're not gonna if you listen to this one.
But please, we would appreciate it. It helps us out a lot. Leave a five star review and write a review. And if there is a game you want us to play, or a guest host you want for a certain episode, mm-hmm. or I don't know, something you just need, and just call you on your birthday.
Yeah, no one gave us their emergency contact number. Yeah, so we still need that.
So if you want us to be your emergency contact, or just let your parents know when you're hurt. We'll do that too. Whatever.
Yeah,
we appreciate it.
Eventually.
I didn't know how I was going to work it in.
I forgot about that part. I was thinking,
Tyler, you got a bumper rail, man. You're like, your energy level's going low.
Yeah, you're like a five.
We'll get to your emergency eventually.
Don't worry, guys. We'll be back. We'll be talking about stuff. Maybe it's Bastion.
Who knows?
I don't know. It depends on how available Jacob is in the next 45 minutes. In the meantime, you can always find us at tadpog.com. The show notes live there. I don't know what's going to be there. Probably a whole bunch of D&D shit. That would be my guess. Mm-hmm. That's probably what's going on there for this episode. And maybe a whole bunch of people of Walmart.com, like, because there are a lot of Tweety Bird shirts.
God, people of Walmart.com. Everyone on the internet is a person. Everyone on the internet is a person.
Don't get off your judgmental horse now. Get right back on there. Ride it into town,
listen,
my friend.
Listen, I feel like I brought up some good points.
We have microphones, and that means we can say whatever we want. You can also find us on Facebook. We are at facebook.com/tadpog. There are usually a lot of cool people there doing a lot of cool shit. Mm-hmm. I really am not on Facebook frequently now, other than the... I'd say probably 200 messages, push notifications I get on my iPhone per day from the Facebook Final Fantasy Football group. So if you're in that, you're cool. If you're not, I mean, you're still cool. You're still cool. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I'm
don't lie to him.
But you did miss out. You did miss out.
I believe it. I didn't know about it. I didn't know about it because I was not caught up on my episodes. Mm. Pretty sad.
Man, you'd be, yeah, that's right in your wheelhouse, isn't it?
Not really.
I'm sports balls.
I do love sports. I'm probably going to
fantasy basketball.
Yeah, if it was fantasy basketball, I'd own you suckers.
Is that a thing? Is there fantasy basketball?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's more complicated just because you have to, football's good because you really only have to focus on like once a week, changing stuff. I mean, if you're bad like me, I'm pretty bad at it. I'm actually going to have Blake just run my team.
Bad meaning bad, not bad meaning good.
Yeah, bad okay. meaning bad.
He went from being like, I will smoke all of you to I'm
basketball.
Bad at this. Like
in the fantasy same basketball.
Sentence,
I'm down for some fantasy hockey. Just, I feel like we'd
you're every, the only one.
Except for Sam, I feel like we'd all be on pretty equal footing.
You got your pads still?
Tyrone drafts all the Blues.
And anybody that sounds like they played for the Mighty Ducks, whichever.
I think for the next like Final Fantasy game, we should do a Final Fantasy fantasy.
I actually think it would be a great idea to do like a Final Fantasy fantasy draft.
Yeah.
And like, you know, whoever the hosts are, each has to draft a 6-person party,
a party?
Or whatever, 4-person party.
How would that work though?
Well, it would basically be, I imagine it would be Snake style. It would be like, you know, you draw lots and it's like, oh, all right, Tyrone gets first pick. Tyrone, yeah. You pick any character from any of the Final Fantasy games.
Yeah, but how would it be a competition?
Orlando, I question. Win.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I think that would, you wouldn't be able to necessarily have it be like, oh, well, definitively this team would beat the other team.
Okay.
But I think that you could probably look at it and be like, oh, well, yeah, that's, I think that... You know, with this person's strength and this person's strength, that would overmatch.
We draw lots and then sacrifice Teddy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
You can also find us on Twitter. We are at @tadpog_podcast.
That's pretty cumbersome,
it's
dude.
Cumbersome, I know. But, hey, follow us if you want. I'll probably talk to you. I mean, especially if you say weird stuff. We encourage it. You can call us if you want. We are at 270-883-2555. Let us know if you own any Looney Tunes apparel. or if you have a question about a video game or, I don't know, pop culture, call us, ask us. Keep it under 3 minutes. It'd be awesome. That's it. That's all I got.
Thanks for coming on, you guys.
Hey,
we appreciate it.
Thanks for
having me.
We are so, man, we all need to bump some rails, y'all. I mean, we've got to get on.
Well, I'm going in, everyone else's energy is so low, I'm kind of going into my NPR. Yeah, of course. Thank you, guys.
It's a wonderful time going on today talking about ActRaiser, Looney Tunes, titties. Wonderful day. So until next time,
Tropical Capricorn.
Our intro song is Moves by Sycamore Drive. A link to that track can be found in the show notes at bumperrail.com.
I fell off, man. I was on that.
Oh, Tyrone, I meant to ask you this.
Thanks.
I may, if you are cool with it, come by at some point and have you...
Suck my dick.
Suck my dick.